Good morning and welcome to another edition of Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative. Delighted that you have decided to spend part of your Saturday with us. And folks, in full transparency, a little bit of a confession. We're recording earlier in the week this week. We have an out-of-town guest whose schedule necessitates an earlier in the week recording. And so it's actually Monday afternoon. We apologize for being ahead of schedule, but we have such an extraordinary guest, we did not want to miss the opportunity. Before I introduce my guest, I want to thank our producer, Mr. Justin Barker, who sits on the other side of the glass at Powell Broadcasting, for all of his help these many years producing our Grow Siouxland radio program. I'd also like to thank our longtime sponsor, Mr. Chris Bogenreef of NAI United. I'm joined today by someone who is no stranger to Siouxland, but it's been a couple of years since Mr. Adam Bruns, the editor-in-chief of Site Selection Magazine, has been in our Siouxland community. Adam, welcome back to Grow Siouxland.
It's great to be back, Chris.
We always enjoy seeing you because when Adam Bruns is in the house, it means that the Siouxland Metro has ranked number one in the nation for economic development in its population category. Adam was in town this week with Governor Jim Pillen of the great state of Nebraska. We're going to talk about the award and the recognition in the second half of the program. But before we get there, Adam, we're so delighted to have you back in our community. You've seen an awful lot of it. We'll talk about that a little bit. But before we get to that aspect of our Saturday morning program, tell us about where you grew up.
Well, I was born and raised in, I was born in Kirkwood, Missouri, St. Louis municipality. My grandma and grandpa had a Buy-Rite grocery store in Jefferson County, Missouri, outside St. Louis, along Highway 30. Lived above the store. My dad went to Rolla School of Mines, it was called then, in Rolla, Missouri. Went to work for Hallmark, and then so I ended up being raised in Kansas City, in the suburbs on the Kansas side of the line, which a lot of people still don't understand out there in the rest of the country, right? The idea of the bi-state metro. Of course, you've got a tri-state metro to deal with.
So we get it. We understand. Now, we can't leave your childhood and my childhood without talking about the Kansas City Royals of the 1970s.
Oh.
George Brett, Freddie Patek, John Mayberry. You grew up with them. I grew up with them.
Yep. I was born in 1964, so I was just old enough to have my heart broken by Chris Chambliss.
Oh, Chris Chambliss, the New York Yankees. He broke my heart every single fall. It was terrible. But yeah, Willie Wilson and Frank White and Jamie Quirk, Paul Splittorff, who played baseball professionally for the Royals, graduate of Morningside College.
Oh, I did not know that.
And his catcher, a family friend, Mike Cadwell, who's still in Sioux City, Iowa. So a shout out to Mike Cadwell, and Paul Splittorff is no longer with us.
Right.
But yeah, one of the legends.
It was a great team, a lot of heroes. And Frank White, of course, is still a city leader in Kansas City.
Now that I did not know.
Yep.
Small world. And you're also a Chiefs fan.
I grew up a Chiefs fan. I was a Chiefs fan, you know, sitting in the cheap seats by the big oval scoreboard where you couldn't even see the scoreboard on a cold winter day watching us lose to the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, but you could see the field, just not the scoreboard.
That's right.
My times have changed. As a grade school kid, were you involved in sports?
I was. I grew up playing tennis. My dad taught me, and my dad, as well as my sixth grade teacher, Joel Dempsey, who played at Temple and who turned out to be a mentor for life, really a lifetime friend in the arts and theater, was also my basketball coach. You know, he had calves the size of basketballs, and man, could he jump on a jump shot. Anyway, I played basketball until I was, I didn't keep up with the growth spurt of the people around me when I went to Rockhurst High School, a Jesuit high school in Kansas City. So my main focus was tennis at that point. And then I discovered in my teens a little ultimate frisbee, and I entered the world of competitive ultimate frisbee, which I ended up playing in several cities I've lived in.
And you remain, all these years later, a competitive tennis player.
That's right. I play all the leagues year-round in Atlanta, where I've lived for the past 24 years. And that means seniors, because I'm old enough to be that, but I still play, compete with the regular guys. And we keep winning things and getting elevated too highly, though. So my one loss record is not what I'd like it to be.
You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSEJ, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM. Our guest this morning is Mr. Adam Bruns, who serves as the editor-in-chief of Site Selection Magazine, the nation's leading economic development trade publication out of suburban Atlanta, Georgia. Adam is in town to share some big news and an award with the Siouxland Tri-State area. And Adam, you know, you're in your early 60s. You're still playing competitive tennis at a very high level. Does it require conditioning beyond the regular tennis practice, weightlifting, stretching, running, cardio, to be able to keep up with those tennis players who are literally half your age now?
Yeah, you know, my main conditioning these days, as my work schedule allows, is cycling classes at the Y. And yoga classes at the Y, which my wife teaches. And then we also go to an Iyengar yoga studio. So that's not cardio, but that's strength and flexibility, which means a lot as you age. And then I try to keep up with the cardio and on the cycling class now, instead of putting all that impact on my knees and feet.
Tennis does enough of that, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
It certainly does. And speaking of your wife, who is your yoga instructor, tell us about your family.
Well, I'm married to Carrie Peterson. We met years ago in Maine when we were both living in Midcoast, Maine. I was using my English degree as a carpenter in Midcoast, Maine, working on big vacation home projects, different big projects along the coast of Midcoast, Maine. She was working at the Maine Photo and Film Workshops, teaching different workshops like working with a plastic camera, for instance, or doing a two-week young photographer's workshop where you had to submit a portfolio in order to even qualify. And she was running the film lab as well as the gallery. It's hard to imagine for some folks now, but it required a lot of chemistry to do photography then, and she dealt with a lot of it. She ended up teaching at a couple universities, including University of Kentucky, where she was an adjunct professor in photography, fine art photography. Around the time that she was about done with academia, I got the job offer to go with Site Selection, and we moved to Atlanta in 2002. And today she teaches in special needs classrooms with pre-K kids with severe and profound special needs. And our daughter is going into that same field. She graduates from the University of Georgia in Athens in May, and she's going into that same field.
So let's rewind just a little bit. You graduated from Rockhurst, a Jesuit high school in the Kansas City metro. What came next before you ended up in Maine? Tell us a little bit about your career progression beyond high school, educational progression into college and beyond.
Well, it's funny. I'm going to Chicago in a couple days, and I'm going to be speaking to an audience there, and it will be 40 years since my college classmate and I moved from Tulsa and Kansas City, respectively, to Chicago. Where I met him was at Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois, a former railroad hub, and it was the most oppressed town in America, I believe, was its title back then in 1982 when I matriculated there, graduated with a major in writing of poetry and minors in theater and French, all those very marketable skills. Right, so
which is why you were a carpenter in Maine for a while.
That's right. That's right. Well, and before that, though, we moved straight to Chicago, where I had way too much fun. But I worked in bookstores as I'd done all my life. I worked in multiple bookstores.
Did you cheer for the Cubs when you lived in Chicago?
I lived a block and a half north of Wrigley on Sheffield, so yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Murphy's Bleachers was my neighborhood bar when there wasn't a game on.
I'm happy to hear that. Same with me. Grew up with the Royals and then converted to the Cubs when I met my wife, who's from suburban Chicago. But back to your time in Chicago.
So I was living there, working there, various jobs, not really kind of spinning my wheels. And my old, as I said, my sixth grade teacher, Joel, was living in a refurbished boxcar in Cushing, Maine. And he said I could live in it in the winters if I wanted. It had a wood stove. And a mutual friend of ours who had employed me in the summers doing rehab work on houses in Kansas City was moving up there to start building spec houses and needed a carpenter. So I was like, all right, might as well. So I just packed my backpack and my duffel bag and moved to Maine. Did exactly what I just described. After about a year there, I met Carrie shooting pool at Higgins Tavern in Camden. We went on and, you know, known her ever since 1987. Ended up moving to Savannah when she went to graduate school there at SCAD and got her MFA in photography. I had different jobs. I tended bar at a sports bar back when people would gather there because we had a satellite dish and you couldn't watch games without going to a place with a satellite dish. You remember that?
Absolutely.
And so like when it was World Cup time, for instance, wow, you suddenly found out about the international population of Savannah. It was incredible. It was exciting. Anyway, I did that. One of my customers there ran a waste paper recovery and recycling place that worked closely with the Kraft paper mill in Savannah. I went to work for him, and I did everything from crush glass cullet in big concrete bunkers to drive out and pick up cardboard bales to help offices start new paper recycling accounts for all that green and white striped computer paper that used to come off of the printers in reams and reams.
Yes, and it was all connected and perforated, and you had to tear it apart.
Yep, so we would bring those boxes of paper, and we'd bring it to the plant, and it would go into what they call the cyclone to basically unfurl it all and then repack it into bales that were shipped off to Asia to be used in pulping mills in Asia that had the equipment to make it into paper, other kinds of grades of paper. It was incredible.
It's very, very fascinating. And interestingly, it led to a career in journalism.
I'm getting there. moved to Kentucky from there. Worked in another great bookstore again. Started doing some freelance writing for a business magazine called The Lane Report, which is a statewide Kentucky business magazine. I did some golf writing. I was an associate member of the Golf Writers Association of America. And some other freelance pieces. And site selection came calling because they needed a managing editor. And I joined the magazine in 2002 when we made the move to Greater Atlanta, to Peachtree Corners, to be specific.
And from there, you have visited the Siouxland Metro half a dozen to a dozen times, somewhere in between. We're always excited to have you back. And after a short commercial break, we're going to visit with Adam Bruns, the editor-in-chief of Site Selection Magazine, the leading national economic development trade publication, maybe the leading international economic development trade publication, right after this break.
Looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial property in Siouxland? One call is all you need. And now celebrating 20 years in commercial property, the largest and highest producing real estate in Siouxland. Speak with Chris Bogenreve, President, Bo Bronger, Nathan Connolly, Lawrence Jensen, and Madison Craighead. NAI has your answers for commercial real estate in all corners of Siouxland. All NAI agents are licensed in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Put NAI United to work for you. Celebrating 20 years. Learn more at NAI. United.com.
Welcome back to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative. Pleased to be joined today by Mr. Adam Bruns, the editor-in-chief of Site Selection Magazine out of suburban Atlanta, Georgia, to be specific, Peachtree Corners, Georgia. And Adam, every time that we see you at this time of year, it's a reflection of good news. Earlier today, and we are recording this program on Monday of this week, and we apologize, but Adam's travel schedule has him in Chicago to present news to that city about how they performed in national economic development rankings. But Adam, you were joined by the governor of Nebraska, Governor Jim Pillen, earlier today, and for what reason?
The reason was this. Every year we tally up corporate facility investment projects that we've tabulated in our proprietary database called the Conway Projects Database to see, and then we break it out by state, we break it out by city and metro areas to see how different areas perform. The times I've been here in years past, we've recognized Siouxland as number one in its population tier, which is above 50,000 and under 200,000 in population. And sure enough, you're back in that number one position with 23 projects this year. You're number one overall in tier three, and you're number three in the per capita category.
And we're thrilled to learn of this news. To count as a project, what are the criteria?
We require that the project, first of all, involve construction of some sort. It could be as simple as rehabbing the interior, but construction of some sort, and that you meet one of three criteria: at least $1 million invested, at least 20,000 new square feet of space, and or at least 20 new jobs created.
And if you have a project, for example, that has some new construction or renovation and qualifies through that metric, it needs to meet one of those other three. If it is the capital investment threshold of $1 million, what if it's $10 million? Does that matter?
Well, it counts the same as one project. And this means that, you know, a giant data center megaplex counts the same as that food processing establishment on the outskirts of town that employs 10 people.
Yeah, it's really a remarkable process. And this year, you have announced both how municipalities performed and how states performed. Let's begin with the states.
Well, we start with the overall states ranking, which we call the Governor's Cup Award. This year, Texas once again wins it, as they've won many times in the past. Illinois comes in second. And just to give you an idea of the scale of the projects going to Texas, over 1,400 projects. Okay, 23 in Siouxland, 1,406 that we qualified for our database in
and
Texas.
And of course, you organize these on population tiers. Texas, gigantic state, and so it makes a difference.
Yeah, and when we do states, we don't break it by population. We just go, here's your tally. We do index some other factors into some of our other rankings that we publish later in the year, but this is our first chance to look at the last calendar year, and so we just go with the tally and get everything checked and corroborated. But Texas is first, Illinois second with 680, so they more than double. Texas more than doubled second place Illinois. Texas more than triples third place Ohio, which had 467 projects. Number four, California. Number five, Florida, moved up from seventh to fifth. Georgia is sixth. New York, seventh. North Carolina, eighth. Pennsylvania, ninth. And Virginia comes into our top 10 this year from 14th last year to place 10th.
But a number of years ago, you did add per capita to this calculus. And so you have a per capita winner as well. So small states can compete on a level playing field.
That's right. And the upper Midwest comes to the fore again because North Dakota has risen to number one from like down in the 40s last year, primarily because I think they just started documenting a lot of things that were happening. Plus, there was a lot of good timing, as Governor Kelly Armstrong told me in the interview that we've published. Number two, amazingly, with the population they have, is Illinois, once again in the second place per capita. Kansas comes up from number six to number three. Texas is fourth, and Kentucky is fifth.
And let's visit, if we can, about the tier three population category for the 12th time since first appearing at the top of this list, all the way back in 2007. The Siouxland Metropolitan Statistical Area, comprised of communities in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota, has reemerged after a one-year absence at the top of the list.
That's right. Number one, Bowling Green, last year has gone down to third place. Siouxland is in first. Grand Forks, North Dakota, Minnesota, is second. Lima, Ohio, is fourth. Minot, North Dakota, is tied for fourth. Battle Creek, Michigan, sixth. Bismarck, North Dakota, seventh. Kenosha, Wisconsin, eighth. And then Dothan, Alabama, and Manhattan, Kansas round out our top 10. In the per capita, it's Grand Forks, Minot, Siouxland, Lima, Battle Creek. At the bottom of that list, we have some new arrivals like Brunswick, St. Simons, Georgia. And the rest are some of the towns I mentioned before in a different order.
Adam, the Siouxland Metro has been incredibly fortunate to consistently rank in the top three many times number one. Last year we were number two. We returned to number one. What's the secret to that kind of consistency, and what do you see in Siouxland relative to what you see in other communities as you travel the globe?
Well, I see regional team building by you and your team, Chris, first of all. and really a sense of understanding what true regionalism is all about. And you can see this in other river towns, other river cities or tri-state or bi-state areas. Some do it better than others. Sometimes they have a central city and nobody coheres at all. It's almost like the river, instead of separating, brings people together. But I see it here in terms of just the work ethic and the focus on wanting to help people and help each other out. There's almost as much a philanthropic coalition as there is an economic development coalition, and that's, you can sense that when you're here.
Was this your first opportunity to meet Governor Jim Pillen of Nebraska?
It was.
And I know that you have, over the years, presented this award to the Siouxland Metro, to various governors who receive the recognition on behalf of the tri-state: Governor Branstad of Iowa, Governor Reynolds of Iowa, Governor Noem of South Dakota, Governor Ricketts of Nebraska. It's a frequent occurrence for us to bring a governor in. That's how significant this news is.
Well, it was great to meet him and to hear more about his background in agriculture and farming. And you know he knows whereof he speaks when he talks about the agriculture economy and how it relates to other sectors that are very important right now, like energy.
There's no doubt that energy is critical to future economic development. You see that, I'm sure, with the advent of more data centers and AI.
Yes. And, you know, the data center issue is coming up in every jurisdiction we encounter. The energy problem is paramount. Small modular nuclear seems to be the way to go. And we're going to be very interested in following that in our journalism and site selection.
Adam, it's always a pleasure to welcome you back to Siouxland and the Sioux City, Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota metropolitan statistical area. Thanks for spending some time with us, and you're always welcome the first week of March.
Thanks a lot, Chris. It's great to be here.
My name is Chris McGowan. I serve as your host on behalf of our producer, Mr. Justin Barker, and our longtime sponsor, Chris Bogenreef. Would like to thank you for listening to this episode of Grow Siouxland. If you miss a past episode, you're more than welcome to go to ksej.com, click on the programming icon, and all of our past episodes can be found there. Adam, we're so delighted to have you in our community. Thank you for carving out a couple of days to come back to our Sioux City Metro. Safe travels in Chicago and beyond, and hopefully we'll see you at this time next year.
Looking forward to it.
We'll be back with more on Grow Siouxland next Saturday morning. Make it a great weekend.